This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here are Wednesday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. December corn, 321 and a quarter, up a half. March corn, 334, up a half. May corn, 342 and three quarters, up three quarters. November soybeans, 916 and three quarters, up three and a half. January soybeans, 925, up 3 and 3 quarters. March soybeans, 933 and 3 quarters, up 4. December wheat, 479, up 1 and a quarter. March wheat, 492 and a quarter, up 1 and 3 quarters. May wheat, 501 and a quarter, up 2 and a half. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday's Grain Market Report. Illinois country grain prices did end higher on Wednesday afternoon. Grain showed minor strength from technical buying at the Board of Trade. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids steady at $2.63 to $2.95, while soybean bids were 4 cents stronger at $8.35 to $8.88. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids steady to 6 cents higher at $2.66 to $2.92. Soybean bids were 1 to 3 higher at $8.70 to $9.06. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were steady to 4 cents lower at $2.54 to $2.91. Soybean bids ended mixed at $8.59 to $8.82, and wheat bids also ended mixed on Wednesday at $2.97 to $3.99. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 4 cents higher at $8.87 to $9.07. Basis steady, ranging from 30 under to 10 under November. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis offered in a range of $3.25.30 to $3.58.30, and basis was steady to 55 cents lower today, ranging from 20 to 53 over October. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids 3 to 5 cents weaker at $2.83 to $3.01, with basis down 3 to 5 cents at 38 to 20 under December. Illinois River Bars Loading Elevators quoted producer corn bids mixed at $2.52 to $2.71, with basis steady to 3 cents lower, ranging from 69 to 50 under December. Soybeans were mixed at $8.26 to $8.79, with basis mixed ranging from 91 to 38 under, 38 under November. East St. Louis Barge Loading Terminal Elevators placed their producer corn bids 4 to 5 lower at $2.76 to $2.77. Soybean bids were mixed on Wednesday, ranging from $8.92 to $8.94. Soft red winter wheat up 1 to 2 at $3.28 to $3.29, while the Milo ended steady on Wednesday at $2.96 to $3.01. Contract bids to producers for January delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers in those regions for January delivered corn range from $2.74 up to $3.15. January beans at $8.83 up to $9.15. In central Illinois, January corn range from $2.91 to $3.14. January soybean bids at $8.93 to $9.33. In the southern part of the state, January corn bids range from $3.01 to $3.19, with the January soybean bids ranging from $9.05 up to $9.41. That completes our country grain report for Wednesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Wednesday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. October live cattle, $162.47, up $2.02. December live cattle, $165.90, up $2.42. February live cattle, $165.87, up $1.90. October feeder cattle, $238.42, up $3. November feeder cattle, $238.05, up $3. January feeder cattle, $231.77, up $3. October lean hogs, $107.60, down 37 cents. December lean hogs, $94.87, up 35 cents. February lean hogs, $91.85, up $1.42. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture, bringing you Wednesday the first afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $1.21 lower in the range of $96 to $109, with a weighted average carcass price of $105.50 52. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 48 to 55, 4 to 5 weights 51 to 57, 5 to 6 weights 54 to 58, and 600 pounds and up 58 to 60. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging from $70 to $75. Now for the report from United Producers Livestock Auction. In Shelbyville, they had receipts of 316 head. Starting with the choice slaughter steers, they were 155 to 163.50, select and choice 147 to 155. Choice slaughter Holstein steers, 146 to 153.50, select and choice 138.50 to 144.50. Choice slaughter heifers, 155 to 163, and select and choice 145 to 154.50. Now for the opening report from the Greenville Livestock Auction, they had receipts of 446 head. Starting with the choice slaughter steers, they were 155 to 159, select and choice 145 to 151. Choice slaughter heifers, 155.50 to 159, and select and choice 148 to 152.50. Now from the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 413 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $121.80, and that was 18 cents lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses were $238.14, and that was 11 cents higher, with select carcasses at $227.18, and that was 73 cents higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 114,000. That compared to 114,000 last week and 120,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 424,000. That compared to 421,000 last week and 434,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. October corn delivered to Greenfield, $2.66. November corn delivered to Greenfield, $2.80. October corn delivered to Scottville, $2.66. November corn delivered to Scottville, $2.80. October beans delivered to Greenfield, $8.60. November beans delivered to Greenfield, $8.89. October beans delivered to Scottville, $8.60. November beans delivered to Scottville, $8.89. October wheat delivered to Scottville, $3.50. Once again, their pre-opening prices are corn at Greenfield and Scottville is $2.66. Beans at Greenfield and Scottville are $8.60. And wheat at Scottville is $3.50. The National Ag Statistics Service released its grain stocks report showing 1.24 billion bushels of old crop corn in all positions as of September 1st, up 50% from a year ago. Of the total, 462 million bushels were stored on farms and 774 million bushels were off the farm, with both numbers higher than last year. NAS also reported 92 million bushels of soybeans in storage, down 35% from last year. Of the total stocks, 21.3 million bushels of soybeans were stored on farms and 70.6 million bushels were stored off the farm, and both of those numbers were down significantly from 2013. The Renewable Fuel Standard is federal law that forces energy suppliers to use alternative fuels. Todd Gleason has more on what the standard has done and how it operates.
This is a very brief look at the RFS, the Renewable Fuel Standard. It's been in place since 2005. Washington passed the law in hopes of pushing the U.S. towards greater energy independence. The first step has been relatively easy, with U.S. corn farmers stepping up, building ethanol plants, and increasing corn production. About 10% of the nation's gasoline supply is now derived from corn-based ethanol. But Phase 1 is plateauing, says University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good.
You're right. I mean, to date, corn-based ethanol has been the primary biofuel that's been produced and consumed. We've consumed as much as 5 billion bushels of corn per year in making ethanol for the domestic and export market. As the mandates have increased over time, requiring more ethanol, obviously that's pushed the consumption of corn up. It now appears that we're probably plateauing a bit in that scenario. And it does, I think, hinge a lot on EPA decisions in terms of how to enforce the mandate. Those mandates for renewable biofuels, or at least the implied mandate, the total minus the advance, would push us to 15 billion gallons by 2015. And how aggressively we pursue that objective, I think, will determine how rapidly we increase corn consumption. But clearly the major growth is behind us at this point, and the near term we are plateauing corn consumption.
U.S. EPA has some authority to adjust the mandates. Not much, but some. The problem for corn-based ethanol is that the mandate requires 15 billion gallons of renewable fuels in the gasoline supply by 2015. But that 15 billion gallons is greater than the maximum percentage allowed by U.S. EPA. Here's Illinois' Scott Irwin with more details.
The mandates are part of federal legislation that's popularly known as the Renewable Fuel Standards, and they are volumetric minimums of different categories of biofuels that must be blended and used in our domestic fuel supply. For example, Daryl just mentioned that there are targets that are minimums for renewable fuels, which have almost exclusively been in the form of corn-based ethanol, that rise to 15 billion gallons by 2015. And then, so there's sub-mandates for different kinds of biofuels, and then an overall total. And that total is scheduled to go up to 36 billion gallons by 2022. So I think the key for people that may not be familiar with the RFS is that these are not voluntary guidelines. They are, in fact, statutory minimums for which there are civil penalties if the parties obligated under the renewable fuel standards do not comply. So it's the law of the land, literally.
But the law of the land, the mandate for the 15 billion gallons in the gasoline supply cannot be reached. Why? Because U.S. EPA has set a maximum amount of no more than 10% ethanol in a gallon of gasoline at the pump. There are alternatives like E85, but at the regular pump, 10%. That number maxes out at about 13.4 billion gallons annually, and it's related to how much renewable fuel an engine can manage to consume. Washington, D.C. must deal with this inconsistency. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Secretary Tom Vilsack has announced the nation's farmers, ranchers, and fishery cooperatives set a new sales record in 2013 with total business volume of more than $246 billion. That number surpasses the record set the year before by $8 billion. This third consecutive year of record sales by ag cooperatives reflects increased sales in the overall farm economy in 2013. U.S. co-ops also enjoyed a robust job growth over the previous year. The number of full-time employees working for ag co-ops climbed by almost 7,000 in 2013 to 136,000. That's up 5% from 2012. Ag co-ops also enjoyed a record net income of $6.2 billion, besting the previous high of $6.1 billion set in 2012. Co-op income is either reinvested in the co-op for needed improvements or returned to the member owners. It then circulates in local communities. Secretary Vilsack made the announcement to mark the start of October being National Cooperative Month. Illinois is number one for growing pumpkins. Although with Halloween approaching at the end of the month, many people right now are just looking for a good pumpkin that will make a jack-o'-lantern or a decorative piece. I spoke with David Daniken of Daniken Tree Farm and Pumpkin Patch about how his pumpkins have come along this year.
Sure. Well, the Pumpkin Patch, we operate that Saturdays and Sundays. We're open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Each weekend. kind of what we feature is a hayride out to our 2-acre pumpkin patch. We drop you off there, and our corn maze, which is also 2 acres, is located right next to that. Also next to a pond and pretty little set of woods, which is starting to turn the fall colors right now. When we drop you off there, you're welcome to roam through the maze and then pick pumpkins as well. We come back by and pick you up in another hay rack and give you a ride back up to our sales facility, which is an old dairy barn. We weigh the pumpkins there, check you out, and we also have fall crafts, Indian corn, all that kind of stuff for is available as well.
And how many varieties of pumpkins and other vining crops do you have out here?
All right, we've got 5 varieties of large jack-o'-lantern pumpkins. We've got another 4 varieties of what you'd call maybe a medium-sized pumpkin, 3 varieties of pie pumpkins, 2 varieties of mini pumpkins. We've got 4 varieties of Hubbard squash, 6 varieties of gourds, some white pumpkins, and then a bunch of odd, weird-looking stuff. So there's probably about 30 different kinds out here.
That's a lot of different kinds of just pumpkins, not to mention the other things. What's the main difference between the varieties? Is it just they mature at different times, or do they look different?
Yeah, the length of time it takes for the pumpkins to mature is one of the differences. There's also differences about what they're resistant to, mold and fungus. And you keyed onto another strong differences if they're short, squat pumpkins, big, fat, round ones, tall, skinny ones. You can buy just about any kind of pumpkin you want and plant it, yeah.
Do you have a certain variety that sells the best?
We have a variety that grows well for us. It's called Solid Gold. We buy that every year and plant that. And another one for jack-o'-lanterns is called Dependable, which it is. Always a quality pumpkin.
I saw that you described yourselves as a pumpkin operation that does an integrated pest management system. Why don't you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure. Integrated pest management means that we do our best to only spray any kind of pesticide when we've actually identified the pest that's out there, and we target just that one pest. So we don't try to blanket the whole place with a lot of pesticides. And if we can avoid it, we try not to spray anything because, quite frankly, it's cheaper that way.
Very true. I don't think anyone can argue with that. Now, how was this growing year for pumpkins?
It was excellent. We had plenty of rainfall except for a short dry spell there in July. And once we got the rain in August, they really came along fine. A lot of pumpkins.
For people who want to come out here and get their pumpkins for Halloween or even ones they want to keep around until Thanksgiving for decorations, when can they come out here to do that?
We're open 10 in the morning to 6 at night, Saturdays and Sundays.
And if they have any questions, is there a number that they can call?
Yeah, you can call 618-664-4067, or you can check us out online at danikentreefarm.com. It's D-A-N-I-K-E-N.
Again, that was David Daniken of Daniken Tree Farm and Pumpkin Patch just outside of Pocahontas. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.